through the middle of the court. The forehand swept cross court deep from Siniakova. Siniakova forehand back to the forehand of Mboka. They're just clubbing these balls right now. Redirection from Siniakova, comes on the short ball, cushions it. Have no fear when she comes forward towards the net.
Cancer.
Yeah, I think we planned out our lift quite well. We'll do that. When we have our team dinner, we'll run through that as well and see if everyone agrees.
That's a good question, because I'm sure they'll all think they're the calm.
Well, we're two down for the team dinner, but we'll assign them roles in their absence.
Well, you could give Chris, who's going to be absent, the casting vote, couldn't you?
On his or everyone?
On everyone's.
And I will ask Antoine tomorrow, I'm on with him, what he would be in the lift. He might be quite confused by my question, but...
It's possible, but nothing new there.
The off backhand from Mboka, the slice forehand from Siniaka, backhand down the line from Mboka. That was a great shot from the Canadian. Can she back it up? She goes down the other wing. She's hugging this baseline. Backhand cross court, a lot lower over there. She go down the line. Oh, she's missed it. Mboka's missed it.
Tompkins.
I mean, that's a lot of strapping on the left leg knee area of Siniakova.
Yes, it's above and below the knee with some very thin gauze over the knee itself. And it must be quite constraining, actually, to move in. But as you say, she's been wearing it for the last few weeks, so she must be used to it.
Backhand lofted up by Mboka. Mboka then flattens out the backhand cross court. Slice backhand down the line from Siniakova. Cross court forehand from Mboka. Slice forehand up the line from Siniakova. Siniakova just mixing it up. Then she goes drop shot. Mboka read it, gets to it. The court is open. Beautiful play. Really showing and adding some variety.
Well, that's what we know about Siniakova. She's got all the tools. She moves well. She's smart. She's a very expressive tennis player in every possible way. She'll chatter away to herself, but she also expresses herself through some great shot making, as you said, that ability to improvise.
Game points for 5-5. Serve down the tee. The backhand is long, and Mboka had love 15, had the opportunity to try and dig deep, close it out, but it's 5-5 as Anastasia Potapova is now 5-1. In the second set. We might end up having to go to court 6 because they are just starting a fifth set.
Komasana against Dardari. That's been 3 hours and 33 minutes, which actually, by the standards of a lot of the matches we've seen, isn't that long.
Pretty quick.
Racing through.
Yeah. I'm sure they don't feel like they're racing through.
No.
We are 52 Kansas minutes in, 5 games all. Mboka with the Wilson kit on. Is that sort of a grey top and a dark skirt?
Yes, it's almost like a sort of business-like office motif.
Yeah.
The top reminds me of pinstripes and the dark skirt underneath. And she's also uses, as you'd expect, a Wilson racket. It's... I rather like that green.
Yeah, that was
You don't
the
see many green rackets.
Wilson blade, isn't it?
Tonzo.
Sabalenka. It was made for Sabalenka. Did a big advertising campaign around it. But I do like the green. It really stands out. Katie Bolter is love 41-5. Potapova looking to speed them into a decider. Look across from Mboka. Serves deep. Snap back on the forehand. Siniakova the backhand swings it deep. The pick up on the backhand side. Siniakova slamming that ball and nailing it onto the line. She looked quite pleased with this.
I think there was a slightly sarcastic remark back to her team. She was sort of chuckling as she said it. I think that strikes me about Siniakova is just the speed that she generates off each shot.
Yeah.
Very whippy.
30-15, Mboka serve out wide. The backhand to the feet, the backhand down the line. Mboka forehand back. Ooh, clips top of it from Siniakova. Ah!
Total
apology, and actually a verbal apology.
Yes, a very audible sorry from Siniakova.
Very good impression. It sounded like her.
She gets me to do all her all her sorries.
Does she? 30 all.
Wait, please.
Oh, not pigeons.
Oh, right. Somebody not giving a ball back.
I think he dropped it.
Ah.
Yeah. So it's 9:05 on a Thursday evening, 54 minutes on the clock. Mboku will then clip the net. Arta Rinnikner, she's in a spot of bother once again against Matteo Berrettini. Katie Bolt has now got game point from Love 40. It's an important point now. 5-all, 30-all, second serve from the ninth seed. And it's a double fault, and it's break on Siniakova.
The heavy sigh from Mboko there.
Win for set, say, come on, it's all right. 26 unforced errors in this first set from Mboku.
Think about it, this might be the first time since that big breakthrough in Montreal that she's gone into a tournament with significant points to defend.
Definitely not with Strapa. Slice on the backhand side, the drop shot. Oh, she doesn't make it.
Siniakova.
She does not make it. She goes to the drop shot, and very shortly, Katerina Siniakova, if she holds her serve, will be a set up on the ninth seed Victoria Mboku. 6-5.
And there's a pressure in that, having won matches here last year, and that's something that Mboko's really going to have to deal with over the next few weeks, especially, I think, going in back to Canada, back to the scene of where she had that fairy tale win last summer. You know, and that's one of the things that these young players have to learn to deal with when you've had a rise. This ranking system, this rolling 12-month ranking system, 52-week ranking system, really punishes inconsistency. If you don't match what you did in the previous corresponding week last year, you will drop. Your ranking will drop. You talked about Zhang Qinwen, you know, loses here and is out of the top 100. There's a significant effect on her tennis lifestyle in terms of where she can play, where she can get into. It can affect sponsorship deals. It can affect all sorts of things. It's a real body blow when that happens, and players go into these tournaments often carrying that pressure silently, and I think it's not something that's necessarily talked about among fans so much, but certainly it's something that players and people within tennis talk about all the time.
Absolutely constant pressure. Right, Katerina Siniakova serving for the first set. Anastasia Potapova is serving for the second set. Missed first serve.
Deborah, Emmylou and Elizabeth all remember Wacky Races and Stop the Pigeon.
I remember Wacky Races, but I don't remember Stop the Pigeon.
0-6.
6-5, love 15.
Red Sox Devil has come up with quite the stat. Not one I foresaw having to read out on Radio Roland Garros.
You don't have to read it out.
Oh, I think I do. Lady E, I couldn't resist looking up the world record. Some poor old lady in Cyprus was stuck in a lift for 6 days in 1987. That would take you lot through to the semi-finals.
6 days. Do you think they could get food and water to her? Backhand down the line. That's a bruiser from Siniakova. Should finish it off. Mboko reads it. She goes high. Siniakova smashes through the middle of the court. Mboko gets the ball back, but it's long. Great defence from Katerina Siniakova. 3 points from the set.
I'm still horrified by the idea of us all being stuck in a lift together for 6 days. I mean, Joshua would be happy, wouldn't he?
Who would yell at who first, do you think? Who would snap at who first?
I can't think of the right answer that won't get me in trouble with somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously not you, Empire.
Okay.
Not Stefan. Would you? Who would make you crack after 6 days?
Any of you?
All of us?
All of you?
The collective?
I actually think it would be the situation. Like I said, I'm not good in confined spaces, so I think the whole situation is a... is a stressor for me.
That's why we have a palatial apartment with
huge,
our own wings.
Huge. You using your Segway to get from one side to the other.
I have to, I sort of, we have walkie-talkies to speak to each other, it's so far. Katerina has brought up set point, so this is really interesting. After 59 minutes of play, the unseeded Katerina, I think that could be her dad, is just loving it. He's enjoying how his daughter's playing. She keeps having a little smile with him. It's all going nicely.
Sort of chuckling away to each other, aren't they?
Really chuckling away. She's probably thinking, how am I doing this on one leg? Set points. Such a high ball toss, Semyakova.
Well, that's the advantage of these conditions where there's no wind. She must struggle in places like Miami and Indian Wells where it can get very windy on court.
Excellent return from Iboka. Hits double-handed backhand down the line. Forehand through the middle from Siniakova. That's shanked from Iboka. And there's the first set for Katerina Siniakova. We will keep an eye and return. I think we should go and see if Matteo Berrettini can close out the match. And then I think we'll go to court 13 and see Katie Bolter. So if we go to Philippe Chatrier, our night session match where poor old French crowd going to try and get behind their man. Arthur Rinnick-Nesh, 22nd seed. He's 30 years of age now. 25 in the world. His highest he's ever been is 24. And that was earlier this month. So he's at his peak in terms of singles. And Mattia Berrettini hammers that ball back, but the court is open. Cross court for the winner. Rinnick-Nesh in his lilac shirt pummels it away for 15 love.
Is the highest ranked Frenchman left in the draw. Which I think partly explains why he finds himself on court Philippe Chatrier this evening against the former Wimbledon runner-up in Berrettini.
Thomas Enqvist still working with Matteo Berrettini? They got together earlier this year. I asked that because he's not listed as one of his coaches on the notes, but they did start working together in April of this year and still talking about him in early May. Rinnick-Nesh misses down the tee. He's serving towards the presidential box.
I mean, Berrettini is a player who's sort of in somewhat of a renaissance.
Yeah. 105 in the world, but he's just had horrible rankings, horrible injuries and horrible luck with the rankings. And he nets the tally. Has been as high as 6 in the world, but that was back in 2022.
40-0.
Such a shame. He's had some awful injuries. And even the win for Rinnick-Nesh over Berrettini at the US Open in 2023, that was via retirement.
Yes, all sorts of problems. Certainly his pomp was at 2021, 2022 period, particularly on grass, which was certainly his best surface. As I mentioned, he was runner-up at Wimbledon in 2021. Two-time winner of the Queen's tournament as well.
Got a big old game. They both have. So we'll stay with this to see if Berrettini can close it out. Potapova has a final opportunity. Oh, the trainer is out for Katerina Siniakova. Doesn't I think she's giving her some tablets. But she seems very happy. Like, she's what is she doing? She's pumping. What is she doing? Anyone know what she's doing?
It's very hard to see on the monitor. Maybe it was some kind of gel that she was trying to get out of the tube. You know how you squeeze your toothpaste tube and you're trying to roll it up?
It does look a little. Dad's in the bag. Maybe he's there. Oh no, he's just getting a drink. Fine.
It still seems quite perky.
Well, she seemed very perky when the trainer came out.
Still smiling away. Never seen a player get the trainer out in those circumstances and look quite so cheerful about it.
Look very cheerful. And she's. What's happening now? I think she might need the trainer out to sort out. I mean, because it's. Oh, it was for a plaster for her right. Front of her right thigh.
So not the leg that's got the strapping on, the other leg. Yeah. She obviously had a bit of tape that we couldn't see that was under her skirt.
God,
she's removed.
She is taped up. Right, okay, Matteo Berrettini. He's trying to serve out for the first set. 5-4 against Artur Rindiknesh. Potapova now 5-4, 30-15. Berrettini has a huge game with a huge serve and he's 3 points away.
15-0. You wouldn't necessarily see him as a clay court player, Berrettini, but because he's had such fantastic results on grass, he's been to the second week once here.
Lovely serving from him. It drops over. He pats it away into the corner. A little fist bump up towards the box. Not sure this is what the French crowd signed up for, but the Italian is 2 points away. He's won 6 and lost 7 on the clay this year. Rindiknesh has won 6 and lost 4. They've got 2021, the quarter-final here for Berrettini. And Rindiknesh has never been to the third round here. This is his second round appearance.
So the win-loss record is interesting because one is 11-1, 11 lost.
Yeah.
And one is 7-1, 7 lost.
Set points, there we go. Look at that, that's done. Now we do want to go to Katie Bolter, but that set has just finished. So I was wondering if you think, I think either court 6, because Comesaña is serving at 3-2 with a break, or court 14. Or maybe Stefan will make the decision. What do you think?
Just looking where what's happening on court 14.
Arnaldi is 3 up.
Arnaldi, yes.
On Tsitsipas, who's no longer going to win the French Open.
You've decided that?
Yeah. It's not looking good, is it?
Is your ever lighter horse?
He's not in the race.
Well, he's still in the race as of now. He's just not somebody you would necessarily back to be in the race in an hour's time.
Enjoy the music that was coming from Philippe Chatrier.
Arnaldi winning the first set on a tie break. And now 3 love up with Tsitsipas serving.
Standing a long way back, Matteo Arnaldi. So, so far back the overhead. Easily dealt with by the Greek.
Court 14 has been the place to be today. Great match between Hercatch and Tiafoe. And it was very, very full when I walked past it. Great atmosphere out there.
Yeah, same. When I came in, there was a lady politely telling people that there was no more room. And the people were like, there has to be. And she was like, no, you can see. There is no more room. And Tsitsipas holds to love. This is the second meeting between the two. They met here 2024, round of 16. Tsitsipas came through in 4 sets.
I mean, I love court Simone Mathieu, but I wonder if court 14 is going to be a bit like court 18 at Wimbledon, you know, that where it's a sort of, it's another almost show court where really good matches and it are on, but it's still very intimate.
Yeah.
So you get that outside court vibe, but you get the marquee matches.
And you get a great atmosphere because it's not ticketed, so they could just head on out there. And you'll always get a crowd, whereas court Simone Mathieu, the lower bit is ticketed, the upper bit isn't. And that's why we're seeing really no one there this time of night. Whereas here, everyone is on the grounds going, quick, get there. And I imagine when we go to court 13 for Bolter, that will be packed as well. Serve down the tee. Arnaldi spins it on a lovely angle. Oh, that was a cracker from Tsitsipas. Heavy ball down the line for the winner.
0-15.
And these outside courts, they're bench seating for the most part.
Yeah.
So you can all sort of squidge up in order to be able to fit the maximum number of people in. You've got a few people sitting on the steps, even in the corner of the court. Tsitsipas is a big name.
Yeah.
I mean, Arnaldi obviously is also very accomplished. But in terms of fame, if you're strolling around Roland Garros and you want to see who's playing, go, ooh, Tsitsipas.
Grand Slam finalist. Come on now.
Finalist here. Just a handful of points away from being a Roland Garros champion.
Oh, don't. 2 sets up.
Who does that? Who goes 2 sets up in a Roland Garros final and doesn't win it?
Who goes 2 sets and 5-1 up in a second round match? Jannik Sinner still never won a match over 3 hours 48.
It is seemingly something.
An anomaly.
It's an anomaly, but it's also an Achilles heel, isn't it?
Well, it's like his kryptonite. His kryptonite are conditions and heat.
He is such a phenomenal player and so, so successful.
Arnaldi with his backhand goes cross-court, drops it a bit short, inside-out forehand from Tsitsipas. He's wearing a dark blue top and a white short. Tsitsipas taking control at this point, should finish it off, and he does. Whips the forehand cross-court for the winner.
I mean, the question is, I suppose, for Jannik Sinner, while we're talking about it, is what happens next for him? How does he take that, what seems to be a fragility, and turn it into a strength? I've no doubt that his team are doing endless tests and that
you have to look at your team in terms of why do I keep... There's someone in charge of fitness, someone in charge of nutrition. I'm not saying he's not fit. Someone in charge of nutrition, someone in charge of this. Do you have to... Their job is to get this racehorse in prime condition and send him out there. And so at what point... And he's very loyal to the people he has around him. And I'm not saying get rid of everyone, but at what point do you have to look at your team and think, well, someone's letting the side down here, or is it just a fragility of Jannik Sinner? But then surely, like most things, you can overcome them. Why has he not? Why does this keep happening?
It's not a lack of conditioning. You know, he is very fit. He is working extremely hard. You know, this is not for want of effort, and he's getting access to... You know, his trainer, Jez Green, whose name escapes me. It's not Jez Green, is it?
That's Zverev.
Yes. But, you know, we are talking... He has access to some incredible expertise. And we know that he works hard. So it's not a question of, you know, he's somebody who has lifestyle issues or who's not giving it 100%. There is just something that his body can't cope with about warm weather and these kind of conditions and those long matches. I don't think it's so much about sort of clearing the team out, but I do think it's probably about tapping into other expertise, whether that's medical expertise. You know, sometimes with players like a Coco Gauff gets a biomechanics specialist in to specifically hone in on issues around her serve. Now, you can imagine that the Sinner camp would look at bringing in expertise, perhaps whether it's a doctor or somebody with highly specialised knowledge in building endurance.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't feel like there is an issue. I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes players, people don't think there's an issue. Eventually they do.
I think he must know there's an issue.
He must do by now.
But
he said today in his press conference, it's nothing to do with the conditions. I woke up and I wasn't feeling right. But then he was leading by 2 sets and 5-1. So he must have been feeling all right to get to 2 sets and 5-1. So therefore, the conditions had to have played a part.
Oh, it's confusing, isn't it? I mean, I also think sometimes it's about that some players cope better with not feeling great than others do. You know, some players will, no matter what they're feeling, will battle through. You know, Cam Norrie retired in the first round here. Hadn't retired since 2014
he's
from a match.
He's got a rib problem. He came in with a rib problem.
Yes, but my point is that he has probably had... He must have had matches since 2014 where he didn't feel great, woke up not feeling great, and still went out and played and won. He's resilient. And maybe it's about building resilience in Sinner to go... I'm not feeling brilliant, but I'm just going to power through. And I'm not saying one thing in isolation. I think a combination of things are probably required.
And I think it's interesting, and I'm not saying if we can add to that, Flavio Panetta in Rome, when he had a difficult time, we've come over to court number 6, because this is where the noise is coming from, suggested that what he was dealing with there could be a panic attack or anxiety. The weight of the pressure, the expectation. I mean, he is dealing with a ridiculous amount. And is there an element of that in it? I could be completely wrong.
I think it could be a combination of things, couldn't it? It could be that that's how he expresses his stress. It could be that that's, you know, he needs to get a little bit of extra advice about how he hydrates himself, the balance of electrolytes he takes. You know, it could be something diet related. Remember Djokovic at the start of his career used to get breathing problems, and he used to get a lot of different issues that were seemingly inexplicable. He changed his diet, he went gluten-free, he did a lot of research into what he was putting into his body, and that was a radical improvement in his performances and his endurance.
Now, I've come to court six because this is where the noises come from. Loads of lies tennis going on. Darderi serving 2-4 down, game points. There we go. That gets almost like half of the stadium up. Got a bit of a strut around him, Luciano Darderi. But we are now where 3 hours 56. And Francisco Comesaña has the advantage. Darderi is the 14th seed. Fans are enjoying it. It's getting dark now. Of course, it's getting dark now. What is it? 25 past 9. Anastasia Potapova's got an early break on Katie Balton. We will get you there. I love the Argentinian fans.
They're great, aren't they?
And there's a lady with an Italian flair. She needs to give it a bit more of a waft.
Well, in the face of that sort of singing, she's just kind of slightly, half-heartedly lifting the Italian flag up.
Almost like she wasn't. Otherwise, it felt like she was kind of doing it in time to the Argentinian fans. So this is a second meeting between the two. Francisco Comesaña won their meeting last year in Cincy because Darderi retired. They did have another one, Challenge 11 in 2022. Comesaña came through that on the clay. Night is falling, floodlights are on. Francisco Comesaña has like a neon yellow top with grey on the shoulders, white headband. Really stands out in these lights, doesn't he?
He could be out there directing traffic, couldn't he, dressed like that.
Whereas Darderi is a bit like Stefan has modelled himself on Darderi with a sort of green forest green camouflage.
Like
Vision in sort of khaki, forest green, isn't he? Inside in, Comesaña, great depth from the Argentinian. Little fist bump from him. Little swagger. Little shake of the head from Darderi.
Darderi's certainly got a little bit of swagger about him, hasn't he?
He had the unfortunate incident. Came up against Yannick Sinner in Rome where he was wearing these big wraparound sunglasses. And I did see Vavasori and Bellelli wear them in their final, so I'm sure it was a promotion or you wear these. But I think he was so nervous and so excited being on Centrale with his, that he walked straight past the mascot. Who had their hand ready to go, and he just didn't see them and walked straight out with the sunglasses on.
That poor little mascot.
And they just suddenly started running behind him. Drop shot from Comesaña is too good. And he did actually later that day, I think when it was pointed out to him, because he had no clue, put a message on Instagram to apologise. Because the bullets looked left and right and then ran after him across the net.
It was so confusing because, you know, these mascots, and we have them here, we've had some this evening, they get briefed, you know, this is what's going to happen, someone's going to... And if you're, you know, we're talking about little children here, sometimes very little.
And in Rome, they had them at the entrance to centre court, and one would take one's hand, it's like a relay, and one would take the other. Because I think at one, there was one when a player came out to take the left hand, and the child was like, no, it's not me, I'm with Sinner. And then waited for him to come out.
Don't you take my hand.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the big man to come out.
I mean, that's sort of heartbreaking, isn't it? He must have felt awful.
I say at the time, I don't think he knew anything about it, but I think after the match, and he got wiped by Sinner. I think after the match, he was told, and I think he must have felt awful. But but the sunglasses, it wasn't even light. There's no sun. And these big... You can find it on social media. It's, he just sort of, he walks sort of chest out. He's very chest out, sort of. And he just strode through with his bags. And there was this little child. Here's my hand. Take it. 30-15, Comesaña. It's so far back, Darderi. He sticks one hand out for the backhand. The overhead for Comesaña is too good. Game points for 5-3. This is in the top half of the draw that we're now calling the Land of Opportunity.
The sinner-free land of opportunity.
Like, when the draw is made, everyone wants to be in the bottom half. Now everyone wants to be in the top half. Because bottom half still got Zverev, Ruud and Djokovic lurking.
Very bottom heavy.
It is now. Who are they cheering for? Could be
Arnel.
Susan Longman, Collignon Shelton. The
possibly.
Belgium's not far. He's now two sets up. That would be huge. I know we're talking about shocks. But if Shelton gets knocked out by Raphael Collignon, then Collignon's in the mix to win the French Open. It's the top half, Eleanor.
Anything can happen.
Anyone is in the mix. Tsitsipas is back on serve. Komisanyi has a game point for 5-3. Going to go inside in. Yes, he does. Darderi is so far back. Swings it cross court. Drops it short. Lovely angle by Komisanyi. Down the line from Darderi. He's very balletic, isn't he, Komisanyi? Just leaps up into the air. He's got a short high ball. He's going to smash it. And he's going to take the point, take the game. He's got a gold hoop earring in his left ear. White headband. Firm fist pump towards his people. His box at the end of the court. There's a gentleman with his foot on the ledge, waving, cheering. He's a game away from the third round. I hope it's polite what they're singing.
I do too, but I'm very much enjoying listening to it.
Mayank says, I just hope Surindlo, I imagine you're talking the lefty, isn't out next round because he's physically and mentally spent now that he's a giant killer. I mean, he really should have been knocked out in this round. I mean, if we're honest, even he said so at the end. So I got very, very lucky.
I really like that he said that. I think he was incredibly respectful towards Sinner. And to say, you know, I got lucky when you've just beaten the world number one, because Sinner didn't retire.
He was two sets and 1-5 down.
I know.
He was honest.
He was honest.
His brother, Francisco, who was out on court, they asked him in his press conference, he said, I kept wondering where my family were because they hadn't turned up, like the box was empty. And then I heard that he was winning 2-1. And then I was like, stop it, I'm trying to play a match here, focus. And then I heard he had won and I was 3-1 up in the fourth. And I thought, I cannot lose now, my brother's won. So it was a distraction at first, but then it ended up motivating him to come through.
What a day for the family, though.
I love that he kept looking up at the book. He said, I was getting angry because the family weren't there.
What are they doing?
Should have been there. I want to know where this noise is coming from. I'm assuming Susan Longley in terms of where this court is, because we're court 6.
Christy says, love Radio Roland Garros. Thank you for every minute. Didn't Gigi feel a little stuck in the elevator for all the hours she was commentating during the Isner-Mahut match at Wimbledon? Wasn't she confined to the crow's nest for much of it?
No, because it was quarter 18, so I was on the broadcast roof, but I did have, it was about 12 thick behind me, so I was, it was like being, if you've ever been at the front row of a concert, you're up against the kind of barrier, and everyone's surging behind you. That was more the feeling on that again, and I really needed the toilet.
I think everybody involved in that match really needed the toilet.
9.5 hours on the second day. Inside in from Darderi. It's 30-15. He's looking to hold serve. Stefan, we need to find out where this cheering is coming from, because that is where we need to base ourselves. Inside out forehand. I'm thinking it's... Where am I thinking it is?
Somewhere. Just to finish Chrissy's email, she says,
sorry.
The Wacky Races, a perennial favourite. Lady E, I'll have to think about your role, but Gigi could probably be Penelope Pitstop. She could.
In the lift? No.
No, I think in the Wacky Races. We've moved on from the lift.
Is that a good thing?
I would take Penelope Pitstop. I'm probably Muttley in this scenario.
30-all, Darderi in a tricky position now, because if he loses his next point, he will be match point down after 4 hours. Where is that coming from? Forehand down the line. Stefan is investigating. Backhand cross court from Komisanyi. The slice down the line. The forehand whip cross court. Oh, and it's loose. So I think we might be going to court Susan Longman after this, because we believe that is where the noise is coming from. I'm afraid on Philippe Chatrier. Arta Rindic now, she's now set the breakdown.
Mayank says, I wonder what dinner at the Surindlo table is like tonight. Mum and Dad could be forgiven for giving Juan Mantel Juan Manuel, another, more accolades and a bigger portion of the dish on his plate after the day he's had.
Darderi has held serve. He's now lifting his racket to the Italian fans, saying, can you please help me against these Argentinian fans? And very shortly, the noise levels will rise again because Francisco Comisani, the unseeded player, will be serving for his place in the third round after 4 hours and 5 minutes.
Over on court, Simone Mathieu, that match we were bringing you some of the action of earlier, Mboko versus Siniaková. Siniaková won the first set 7-5, and they are 2-2 and deuce in the second set.
I'm thinking it must be, looking at court six, it must be Susan Longland where the noise is coming from. Because this is in the... No, Stefan, where do you think it's coming from? Oh, court seven.
Which would make sense because they're adjacent.
And it's a French player.
Ah.
Right, well, that could still have a way to go. These are the Argentinian fans. Here we go.
It's a noisy night in Roland Garros.
We'll go to Katie Bolter next, court 13. She's 1-3 down. Hit the man in neon yellow. White shorts, white headband, white socks and shoes, dark hair, olive skin, what yellow sweatbands, neon orange racket frame. I mean, you couldn't miss him, could you?
He's quite 80s.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like he should have roller skates, maybe dealy boppers.
That would get him round the court, wouldn't it? Merci beaucoup. He's looking for his first top 20 win since defeating Arthur Fils in the second round of Madrid last year. And his third top 20 win at a Grand Slam. He rolls that backhand in down the line. Comisani with another backhand cross court. The man making the noise is Darderi. Down the line again. Darderi hits the forehand up the line. Backhand cross court. Darderi just wants the forehand, so he's running around the backhand. The forehand cross court from Darderi. Down the line goes Comisani. Comisani slices the backhand. Sounds like our air conditioning's coming on. Backhand cross court from Comisani, who flips around and goes inside in with the forehand. The forehand cross court from Darderi. Darderi with the forehand. Forehand cross court again. Comisani goes down the line with this forehand. What a rally this is. And it's long from Darderi. And it is 15 love to Comisani. And Darderi is feeling it. That noise is the noise that box makes at the door for our aircon. That little...
I can see lights on the air conditioning in the roof.
Is it working again? Oh, I think our air conditioning has been fixed.
I love your optimism.
Is it? No, it has. No, it hasn't. That one has. No, okay. Got excited.
So just to sum up.
It hasn't.
Nothing has changed.
In comes Comisani. Doesn't need to come in. The inside-out forehand did enough. 2 points from the win.
Something's happening with the air conditioning.
It's closing.
We're very excited. We've had
It's closed.
What might be called subpar air conditioning.
Darderi is complaining about the fans speaking. He's complaining about the fans in the crowd. He also broke a string on his racket.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not directly address the players.
Oh, has somebody been talking to him? Perhaps a little bit of trash talking from someone in the crowd.
Now he's at Greg Allensworth is having to separate Darderi from the fan in the crowd. Greg Allensworth is just telling him to calm down. Darderi is sort of doing a lot of finger pointing. And now he's saying, look, that guy's causing a lot of trouble.
Well, we have seen at all the Grand Slams fans ejected for this sort of behaviour. It's just not acceptable to do anything other than cheer your chosen player on.
He's looking at him as if he's going to find him after the match. He needs to focus because he's 2 points away from going out. He did apologise to Francisco Comisani for the delay. 5-4, 30 love. Comisani serves down the tee. The backhand is through the middle from Darderi, who hits the backhand cross court and is netted. And now Comisani is just pointing to his team, saying, I got this.
The problem for Darderi is not only is he getting upset and he's still gesticulating and talking to the person in the crowd, he's getting distracted. Yes. And also, he's not doing anything to win the rest of the crowd over.
Match points to knock out the 14th seed. Backhand is Dardari just goes to the net now. Comesania pumps his chest. Very mild-mannered young man, and he's in the third round of Roland Garros. There's a really nice embrace between the two. 4 hours, 10 minutes. Well done to Francisco Comesania. Well played between the two of them. Fans getting a little carried away. Right, I think we should go to court 13. Katie Bolter in a spot of bother. Congratulations. Another seed has gone, this time the 14th seed, Luciano Dardari. So court 13 is Katie Bolter against Anastasia Potapova. Potapova, who not that long ago started representing Austria, flying under the Austrian flag. I think someone's trying to fix the air conditioning. That's what's happening, isn't it? Because those little things, I don't want to use the word I was going to use, keep opening and closing. You know the word I was going to use, don't you? Not going to use it. It's an awful word. 15 all.
Really want to say it now.
No, please don't say it.
Okay.
Potapova. 28th seed. I mentioned that really great run in Madrid. Going out with her partner is, she used to be married to the tennis player Alexander Shevchenko. They got divorced. Now she's alongside Talon Griekspoor, the Dutch player. Backhand in the tram lines from Bolter. The let's go is from Potapova.
He was giving her a little bit of coaching, wasn't he?
And she said she sort of calmed down when she saw him there.
Oh, that's quite sweet, isn't it?
Because our box were getting a big old talking to before he arrived. 4-1, 30-50. It feels quite cold in here, so something's definitely working now. I don't think it's that, Stefan. The others are shut. It's all very strange. Today's been a very unusual day. 30-15. Potapova in navy blue. Katie Bolter in pink.
Pink or mauve?
It's not mauve.
No, very. It's always quite hard to tell on a screen.
It's like a baby
screen.
Pink. It's like a blush pink, isn't it? Not mauve.
Haven't seen it close up.
It's pink.
Okay.
Yeah, it's mauve. Pink. The racket frame of Coco Gauff is mauve. Inside out forehand. Oh, it's long.
It's been quite a topsy-turvy match, obviously, as the scoreline would suggest, as we're here in a third set. But that second set, you know, Potapova led, built up a healthy lead. Bolter pegged her back. You're right, it is baby pink. I will concede.
No,
I've conceded.
All right.
I've conceded.
I just can't believe you saw that as mauve. Forehand inside in from Bolter. Bolter is 1-4 down. Potapova's 4-1, 30-15. But she nets. Music, lots of action going on everywhere.
Got a bit jazzy there with the music, haven't we? Oh, it's James Brown.
Yeah. And it starts to put up over 25 years of age. She's sitting at around 30, has been as high as 21. That was back in 2023. And as I mentioned, she recently changed allegiance to fly under the flag of Austria. Bolter just a few too many unforced errors at the moment. Inside out into the tram lines.
Well, Bolter's been in somewhat resurgent form this year, hasn't she? She had a really, really difficult year last year. Reorganised her team at the end of the year. Won a tour title in February just to start to get herself back on track. It's not necessarily the surface that she would feel most comfortable on.
No, she got to the quarterfinals in Rouen. She started off her clay season. She goes back down the line with the forehand, but it's game point 5. Oh, she hits the short slice. Down the line goes Potapova really well. Red followed in. Cannot see Talon Griekspoor there. But the rest of Potapova team are there. So she's a game away then. Katie Bolter went to Madrid. She beat Taylor Townsend in the first round, but then lose to Jessica Pegula in Frome. It was a first round meeting and defeat to Ivelisse. And then she went back to Paris, the title she won last year, the 125. And she lost in the round of 16 to Anastasia Zakharova. In the first round here, she beat the American Road to Roland Garros wild card challenge winner. They need to shorten that title. Akasha Urobu.
The thing about that WTA 125 that Bolter won here last year, those events the week before a Grand Slam, even though they're much lower tier, can actually often be very, very strong draws. So they're often as strong as a 250 because a lot of players are looking for match practice ahead of the Grand Slam. So
Madison Keys was in it this year, got to the final.
Yeah.
Lost it's Deanne Parry.
Exactly my point. So that is actually very impressive from Bolter.
Drop shot from Potapova wasn't good enough, but she's opened up the court. She puts the overhead on Bolter, but Bolter reads it because the ball wasn't high enough. And Bolter will want to put the pressure on Potapova to try and close out this match, which means she has to hold serve here. I think after this, we're going to go to court Susan Longland because Ben Shelton could go out. Mattia Berrettini's 4-1 in the second set and leading by a set to love. Serve out wide.
Trockens.
I'm going to say a quick hello to my friend Amy, who's listening.
Hello, Amy.
Fellow Fulham fan. Fellow sufferer.
As is one of my children.
Excellent boy. Well done.
The other one's the other side of West London. Inside out. Forehand. Oof, Potapova got that all wrong. He'd be very proud of him. He really follows his Fulham, even though they're not winning anything, and we told him probably never will.
Finished 11th, thank you very much.
Top half of the bottom. Yeah, yeah. No, you've got to take the positives. Always find a positive.
He's a Fulham fan. He's going to need to adjust to his expectations.
I keep telling him that. The slice, deep slice from Potapova off the backhand side. Then she heads back because the lob was good. Then she lobs Bolter. Bolter drives the forehand out of the air. And she does hold serve. So she's done all she can to this point. She will ask the question of Anastasia Potapova.
Hugh Grant's a Fulham fan?
Yes, he is. It's a lovely ground.
Oldest ground in the Football League.
So it's cosy. It's great for children. That's why, because they both support teams from whence they came, in terms of where they were born and grew up. So I'm very, whoever I support doesn't matter. I'm very respectful of the fact that they're born in Chelsea, lived in Fulham for the first few years of their life. So I like the fact they've picked a team from whence they came.
As I did.
Although, though my other son, it is more of a glory thing. Definitely.
Not these days.
Yeah, but it was when he was born. but he's not as into it. But the Fulham fan, he's... And when I said who I was staying with, he went, "Is that the Fulham fan?" And I said, "Yes, it is." He went, "Oh."
I can't think of a greater compliment.
See? I said you'd find that a big compliment.
Puppies.
So Mattia Berrettini's 4-1 up. It's 4-all on Susan Longland, where we're going to head to. Victoria Boku, very tight, 4-3 on serve with Siniakova. Stefanos Tsitsipas is now serving to split sets. He's back in the race for the title.
He's shaken off you telling everybody he was the favourite.
5-2. Anastasia Potapova.
Let's promises.
Potapova in Rome. Round of 16, lost to Jesper Gula, mentioned Madrid. It was a semi-final, sorry, lost to Marta Kostyuk. Of course, Andreeva lost in the final to Kostyuk. Potapova had a really good run there. Inside in, heavy forehand, cross court. Our air conditioning's gone mad, hasn't it? If you keep hearing lots of beeps, we do apologise. It just keeps switching on and off. Look, the thing I'm not going to mention keeps...
Opening and closing. I think switching on and off is better than just off, which is what it has been for this very warm week in Paris.
5-2, 15 love. It's like it's teasing us. Off forehand from Potapova, a looping high ball that's long from Bolter. 2 points needed.
Bolter just looking at a little bit forlorn as she looks to her team.
I love Potapova. Bolter's, how much did it miss by? This match. And you're like, did it?
She should be like a fisherman.
Yeah. How big was that fish you caught?
Giant.
Massive. It felt a little bit like that. Serve down the set. It's a good serve from Potapova. She hits the forehand back to the forehand of Bolta. Bolta drops that one short to the service line. Nice angle, flat. The drop shot from Bolta. Oh, no, it wasn't. It started off as one and ended up landing in the middle of the court. Potapova with the forehand. Cross court. The slice down into the net from Bolta. And it's match points.
Sort of strange chopped forehands there from Bolta. As you said, they look for all the world like they intended to be drop shots and then decided they'd go just a bit further.
Yeah. Rinnick there, she's got a break back point. He's a double break down. Match points. Someone's cheering. Oh, it must be that Vanash match, is it? Yes, I'm sure. That goes to 15-40, then it's definitely court seven. Serve down the tee. The forehand back through the middle of the court. Bolta through the middle again. Into the net goes Potapova. Oh dear, there's a, we'll have to get to Susan Longland because Collignon has a point for 5-4 to serve to knock out the fifth seed, Ben Shelton. Second match point for Anastasia Potapova. Blonde has scraped back tightly into a bun. Lost the ball, it was so high, and the floodlights. Oh, and again. Oh, and she serves just as the crowd erupts as Collignon has broken for 5-4. Our next port of call. Anastasia Potapova serves down the tee. The backhand is placed deep from Bolton. Mid-court ball from Potapova. Potapova, double-handed backhand. Long second match point has gone.
A little bit of a wobble here from Potapova. The question is whether Bolton can exploit that.
Michael Joyce, Katie Bolton's coach in the front row. Her mum there in the back row. Alex has to be at home. He's playing tomorrow.
I've no doubt he's watching somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. And there it is. Game, set and match to Anastasia Potapova. The 28th seed is through. The last remaining Brits in the singles is out. And we will move to the second court here at Roland Garros, where Raphael Collignon is a game away from taking out and taking down Ben Shelton. What a strange old day it's been today. I'll say it again, but crikey. Let's bring you some facts and figures over these two men while we still have time and while they're still playing. First meeting between the two. Now, Raphael Collignon is 24 years of age. He's 62 in the world, and his high was this year at 59. Ben Shelton's 23, sitting at 5, which is also his career high on clay this year. Shelton has 7 wins. Collignon has 4. In terms of Roland Garros, the best finish for Shelton was the fourth round last year, so he would drop points. And for Collignon, this is his best showing as he aces the American.
15-0.
Well, he's on course to knock out the fifth seed, and Shelton by far the bigger name in terms of casual tennis fans.
I mean, the top half is just decimated.
Well, it's not good to be an American fifth seed here at Roland Garros because we saw Jessica Pegula, fifth seed on the women's side, go out a couple of nights ago.
Served down the tee, Shelton through the middle of the court. A mid-court forehand ball from Collignon. Collignon, the Belgian, goes cross-court with his backhand. Nice angle from Shelton, tried to find the line. Collignon doesn't make it. Now 57, they've sharpishly got through these games, haven't they?
They've clipped along, haven't they?
Shelton with the sleeveless on purple speckled top with a white material headband.
Collignon looking quite conservative, really. Dark blue shorts, a pale blue t-shirt and matching hat.
Led from his service.
Also for Raphael Collignon, this is his main draw debut at Roland Garros, and he's 3 points away from taking down the fifth seed and getting to the third round. Had to withdraw last year after sustaining a thumb injury in Hamburg the week before the event. Forehand cross-court into the corner, the pickup from Shelton. He's opened up the inside out, which he goes for. Shelton into the net, 2 points needed.
Side note, but you don't get many thumb injuries, do you? You get a lot in cricket, you don't get so many in tennis.
No, that's true.
Remember Monica Seles broke some fingers trying to catch a ball in practice.
Lots of wrists, not so many thumbs or fingers injuries. Colin, your boy, has he got a serious look on his face? We will actually be able to hear from him at the end because they do an interview. Would be in French, possibly not. 30-15, 5-4, serve down the tee, the stretch from Shelton. Collignon's got Shelton on the ropes here. Shelton settles with a spinny backhand and then it is framed by the butt. There have to be some nerves.
Colignon.
I think there are some nerves. And Collignon's team just urging him to just take some deep breaths.
And that's Steve Doss, is the former player in his box, his coach.
He's had some good Grand Slam runs.
Yeah, a lot of experience there. 2 hours about to tick over on the match clock. 10 o'clock nearly at night. Collignon has to step back into his forehand cross court. Looping balls coming up from Shelton, just trying to mix things up and annoy his opponent. Back down the line with the forehand goes Collignon. Collignon with the backhand. What can Shelton do with the forehand? He misses. He cannot control the forehand, and it is match point for the young man from Belgium on debut at Roland Garros.
Shelton just holding out his arms beseechingly. Like he doesn't know what's going on. What's going on? How am I in this situation?
Well, we might have to skip the interview because Victoria Mboku. Oh, that's a set point.
There is, as we've been saying, a lot going on.
We're down to five matches. The long one could be Arnaldi Tsitsipas, who've just split sets after 2 hours.
I blame you for that.
Don't blame me for that. No, I do that. Collignon, match point, backhand cross court, forehand. Look at the spin. It's like Shelton's run out of ideas. Backhand through the middle from the American. Backhand, forehand through the middle. Drop shot from Shelton. Sits up. Collignon should put it up. He puts it into the corner. He's done it.
The match, Collignon. 3-0, 6-4, 7-5, 6-4.
And he's done it in straight sets. Taking out the world number five, Ben Shelton, on his debut at Roland Garros.
Mesdames et messieurs, qualifié pour le troisième tour, Raphaël Collignon.
What an evening for the young man in this land of plenty that is the top half of the draw. Raphaël Collignon keeps his name in the mix.
He's pumping his chest, isn't he, to the crowd. Absolutely delighted, and I'm sure very relieved to have got through that one. One or two little hints of nerves.
Ben Shelton.
Ben Shelton, just
tough one for Shelton.
Very tough one. He'll be really disappointed. But big things to come for Shelton, I'm sure, on grass. And then, of course, going into the rest of the summer, going into his home slam at the US Open, where he's played so well in the past. But that is a big, big win for Raphaël Collignon.
Shall we hear from Collignon or with Caroline Garcia, or shall we nip to Philippe Chatrier?
I'm going to say Chatrier.
Sorry, Raphaël.
Sorry, Raphaël. I mean, Raphaël. I'm sure you're lovely.
Sorry, Raphaël. Lady Elder has spoken. So Rinnicknish in a very similar position to the first set, serving ahead of Matteo Berrettini, serving for a two sets love lead. Raphaël Collignon is in tears. He's in tears. Eleanor, it's an interview you didn't want to take. The man is crying on court. He cannot speak because we might have to nip back. Stefan,
you love a man crying, don't you?
Come on, he's crying. Come on.
What makes you think he's going to be giving a coherent interview if he's in tears?
Just to hear that emotion. Come on.
I want to hear that emotion.
Look at him, he's in tears.
He looks a little bit like Jack Draper facially.
The Belgians and the French coming together on this one.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
He's all right.
Félicitations. Une très très belle victoire aujourd'hui contre Ben Shelton, top 10. Ta deuxième top 10, ton deuxième top 10 de ta carrière. Première fois au troisième tour à Roland Garros. Quel est ton sentiment? On a vu beaucoup d'émotions. Explique-nous un petit peu.
Avant tout, j'aimerais bien vous remercier pour l'ambiance. C'était incroyable.
Incredible atmosphere.
Ouais, c'est beaucoup d'émotions parce que voilà, en étant belge, je venais ici assez régulièrement à Roland, et donc déjà de pouvoir jouer sur ce court, c'était un